Good morning and welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. I'm Amy Otto, joined by Lee Cantor. Good morning, Lee.
Good morning, Miss Amy. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. I'm back from vacation, feeling refreshed.
That's right. Where'd you go?
Went to Florida, Siesta Key, and then went to St. Augustine for the first time.
Wow. Yeah, I used to go all the time. I went to school at University of Florida there, so that was a place we would go to the beach.
Oh, it was amazing. All the history.
Right, the fort. And, did you see the fort? It's kind of weird, huh?
They were actually firing cannons at night, which was really neat. And just the history of it was amazing and just really charming. I can't believe I'd never been.
It's another side of Florida. You don't even know it exists, right?
That's right. And, of course, the best part. The food.
A lot of good food.
Yeah, always the best part for me. We ate a lot, had a great vacation, though. Thanks for our co-host last week, Jared, for sitting in for me.
Do you listen to that show? Good restaurant show. Really did a good job.
A great show. And, you know, we've been doing more themed shows, and this show today I'm excited about because when it comes to doing business, a lot of folks are intimidated by doing business with the government. And I think the reason is because there's a lot of myths, there's a lot of misconceptions.
A lot of rules.
A lot of rules, people think, and there are.
And
but
documentation. A lot of paperwork. I hear, I've never done it, but I imagine a lot of paperwork.
Our show today, hang tight, we've got a lot of great experts with us this morning, and we're going to hear all about what it's like to do business with the government and lots of helpful tips. Our first guest this morning is Kevin Grimes. Now, Kevin Grimes is a veteran of the U.S. Navy Nuclear Submarine Service, and the cool thing is, at the age of 17, he was the youngest person in naval history to graduate, number one, from basic enlisted submarine school. How cool.
Wow, that's an achievement.
It is a huge achievement, and not only that, he's also with CFO Leasing. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show, Kevin Grimes.
Glad to be here.
So, Kevin, you do a lot with governments, with CFO Leasing. It is one of the Southeast leading government accounting firms. So, perfect guest this morning, perfect person for us to hear more from. But first question for you, I guess, is why should a business be knowledgeable about federal marketplace, and why should they really care?
For two primary reasons. The first one is the federal government is the world's largest customer. They have an annual budget of $3.5 trillion. And they typically spend over $500 billion in the commercial sector outsourcing work. The second thing that a lot of businesses may not know about the government is that their calendar year runs from October 1st to September 30th. So if you're a business and your business is cyclical and it's typically down in the fall, that's the perfect opportunity to start doing business and marketing with the world's largest client and augment your income. The federal government pays on time. They pay, you know, net 30 terms, and they buy almost anything that the commercial market space sells.
So your company actually consults with commercial and federal contractors on a daily basis. Now, tell us maybe what the opportunities are that you see out there for Georgia-based businesses.
The major industries that are really starting to receive a lot of funding are in infrastructure, information technology, education, and always defense. We have a client right now who received a grant, over $200 million grant from the Department of Energy to do lithium-ion batteries to try to curb the fuel cost. So those industries right now are really prime for growth, and there's a lot of those companies in Georgia that can fulfill those statements of work, can do those types of items, but they're just not partnering with the federal government.
Now, is this something that it works better if you're a manufacturer as opposed to a service provider?
Absolutely not. The majority of IT, for instance, is service. And when you look at, you know, manufacturing or, you know, clean energy, those things are a hybrid. You need a lot of research, which the government pays for, and you also need the technology to you know, innovate. So it's service or manufacturing.
So would somebody, like, if you're an accountant, is there a place for you or a lawyer?
Absolutely. The IRS, Department of Treasury, DFAS, these are all organizations that have finance roles, budgeting roles, accounting roles, payroll, and they typically outsource some of those positions through a competitive process on FedBizOps, and anyone with that skill set and past performance is more than welcome to submit a quote.
So you think that there's more opportunity for business than they might kind of intuitively think there is?
That's And that's why we're having this forum today,
uh-huh.
is because a lot of companies will think the government doesn't buy from my industry.
Right.
And that's just not the case.
So more times than not, they do buy.
Absolutely.
Saying.
Interesting. Now, since this is a Georgia-based show, how does Georgia rank compared to other states?
And Georgia is not maximizing its opportunities. And I'll give you a few examples. Georgia has the eighth largest number of small businesses, but we rank 24th in terms of federal revenue by state. You take a company like a state like Massachusetts, they have 9 major bases, personnel of 29,000. They're doing $16 billion.
Right.
We have 12 bases, over 105,000 military personnel.
Right.
And we're doing half of that, $7.5 billion. We also have a GSA regional office right here downtown.
Right.
Only one of 11. Cities that have a regional office average $22.6 billion in revenue.
Right.
So we're a third of what other GSA regions are doing.
So how do we rank out of the 11 homes of the offices? Do you know?
10th.
10th out of 11.
10th wow. out of 11.
Wow.
That's a missed opportunity.
It's missed tremendously.
What about radio stations? Is there opportunity for me?
They may outsource some of the shows, the trade shows, industry days.
And how about benefits? Yeah, we should probably be asking them the specific questions, right?
We got them here. They're yeah. trapped.
Now, CFO Leasing has very knowledgeable folks working with them. Now, what's the importance of bringing the other guests here today, the SBA, Georgia Tech, the U.S. Army? What's the purpose?
Because people don't fully understand the contracting process. Everyone wants to get a contract, but they don't know how. The belief is that they can knock on the hull of a submarine, walk up to a fighter pilot who's getting out of the jet, and get a contract. It doesn't work that way. It's pretty much a three-step process. The first step is to understand what you're going to need in the way of financing, what certifications and designations are available for you. Those things are done through the SBA. So once you know what opportunities are out there, what your competitive advantages are, the second step is to get educated. That's where Georgia Tech comes in. Georgia Tech is one of the finest institutions that I've seen that provides free training to show individuals and companies how to acquire the knowledge, get the different schedules, register in the different databases, and make yourself known to the government. Then once you've done those two things, the third step is to start presenting capability statements and start marketing to the specific installations and agencies that buy exactly what you sell. And that's where the U.S. Army comes in. We have someone here who can explain to them, these are the things you need to know before you call me. These are the things that we can do to help you. And these are the things that we cannot do to help you. So by having all three of them in the same room, in the same studio, the listeners get the opportunity to actually walk through the procurement process, the registration process, the training process, without having to make mistakes. So in 1 hour, they can probably get 2 months' worth of knowledge if they listen to the full show.
Wow. See, I think we should charge for this one.
Maybe we should. This could be the Cliff Notes version, right? The extra special Cliff Notes version. So with that being said, Kevin, you want to introduce our next guest, Chuck from Georgia Tech, because you know a lot better than I do. What the flow is of the process, or should we go ahead and go with Gwen?
I think we should go with Gwen because the SBA is what everyone wants to know first.
That's where we've got to start?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, let's start with Terry. Terry's with the SBA. Because, yes, I would imagine that the SBA would definitely come, so we don't want to put the cart before the horse. I get so excited, Lee, sometimes that
we have a lot of guests. We've got to get them in the right order.
We got to get them in the right order. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We also have Terry Dennison from the SBA. Welcome.
Hi.
So, Terry, tell us, what is your component of the pie? What's your piece of the pie and your role at the SBA?
Of course, I am the state director for the Small Business Administration, and the Georgia District Office actually is responsible for delivering over the programs and services of the agency and overseeing that delivery throughout the state of Georgia.
Okay. And
So what's a day look like for you? You must be pretty busy.
Yes. It could involve anything from doing a radio show such as this, speaking engagements, meeting with our resource partners and other organizations that are involved in business and economic development, helping to plan workshops and other outreach efforts around the state.
Mm-hmm.
So you started your career with the SBA a long time ago.
Not that long.
1987. That's a while ago. Okay. That's a lot of experience.
She's a veteran.
Yes, I call that a veteran, no doubt. Maybe walk us through where you were and where you are now.
As you mentioned, I started out as a presidential management intern in Washington, D.C. I was there for a total of 9 years, 7 of those years in our headquarters office. Spent almost 6 years in Indiana as the deputy district director for the Indiana office. And then I also had a couple of assignments in other parts of the country with SBA as part of the district director's candidate development program. And I came here as district director in May of 2002.
And you've won a lot of awards. I know the Atlanta Business Chronicle had you listed in April of 2006 as one of the top 100 people in banking and finance. That's very cool. Lots of expertise here, Lee. So your current role at the SBA, maybe you can walk us a little bit through the Recovery Act of 2009 and what it's really intended to do.
Okay. The Recovery Act, it was a very broad piece of legislation. Of course, the immediate or short-term goals of the act was to help alleviate some of the problems that small business and the economy was having as a result of the recession. There's also other provisions that look to make longer-term investments that would help with longer-term economic recovery. SBA is actually one of 27 federal agencies that had some part in the Recovery Act or some responsibility in enacting part of it. For us, most of the provisions focused on access to capital, in that there were higher percentage on loan guarantees, which reduced the risk to commercial lenders to entice them to lend in an environment where lending was not occurring. Fees that are normally associated with the SBA guarantee were eliminated to make the transaction cheaper and freeing up funds that those small business people could use in other parts of their business operations.
Now, are you seeing, we've had franchise shows, a lot of the people who are franchisors are saying that it's hard to get franchisees because historically, they would leverage their home, and the equity in their home has dropped dramatically, so it's difficult for them to then get the loans they need in order to pay for the franchise. Is the SBA a place that's finding lending easier, or is that the same challenges regarding the collateral in order to make these loans?
Well, what the SBA guarantee does is actually to take, I like to characterize it as taking a deal that is maybe borderline, could go either way,
right,
and making it positive enough.
More that doable, right.
More doable. That doesn't eliminate, you know, collateral requirements if collateral is available.
Right.
And we also we would look for the borrower to be able to put something into to the deal. But in many cases, that could be borrowed, which is something a lot of people don't realize. And if it's put on standby, that debt, it can function as equity.
Oh, okay.
Now, what's the difference between an SBA loan and an SBA grant? And then who qualifies for the grants?
Well, first of all, grants are really very few and far in between at SBA. We're not like some of the larger department-level agencies that have huge discretionary funds for grants. Our grants are, that do exist are primarily a contractual relationship between the agency and a provider to provide some type of service for us, usually counseling or training or other business development services. So it's not, those funds are not available for small businesses to use to finance their individual operations.
A grant is not something you would repay.
That's correct.
Something that you're doing kind of in exchange for service.
Correct.
And a loan obviously is repaid just like a conventional loan would be.
Right. And of course, we're a guarantor of loans. We really do not do direct lending. We have not done that in over 20 years.
So you match up the lender with the entrepreneur?
What we do is we provide, of course, a list that's available on our website of our participating lenders, and basically all the major commercial lenders are SBA participating lenders.
Tell us a little bit more about the GOLING program.
Okay, that's in the context, of course, of government contracting. By law, the federal government is charged with making sure that at least 23% of federal procurement dollars, go to small businesses. Within that umbrella, there are other goals for specific subsets of small businesses, such as businesses located in historically underutilized business or hub zones, small disadvantaged business, service disabled veteran-owned small businesses, women-owned small businesses. What the SBA is charged with is overseeing the goaling process, negotiating with individual agencies so that a goal is set up in such a way that when you aggregate them across the 23 participating federal agencies, you would come out with an overall goal of 23%.
So you're just shooting for that 23%, and so that helps you achieve that.
Correct.
So historically speaking, how have the various federal agencies and contractors fared when evaluated against these goals?
In terms of the federal agencies, there's 23 agencies that participate in the goaling program, and I'm trying to remember some stats I looked at a couple days ago. We actually had one agency that actually met all five of the statutory goal categories. Majority of them would meet, three or four of those goals.
Right.
And then on the other end, I think there were about maybe four that met fewer than two.
Now, is this specific to Georgia or is this
nationwide?
Uh-huh. So do you know the statistics for Georgia, like how we're faring?
Not offhand because it's aggregated.
Right.
So, you have local offices and installations, but they all roll up, that activity rolls up to the department level.
So that 23% is national. But do you think that in Georgia we're getting that 23%? Or if you were, I know I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you think there's room for us to?
Well, there's always room for improvement, as was mentioned previously, because given the potential we have in terms of government installations and potential buyers, the dollars are not really being contracted here.
Do you think that entrepreneurs are really missing out by not pursuing more government kind of help in this area?
I think they are. Not that it's a panacea for every type of business,
right.
But just like with any business decision, an individual company needs to look at all the possibilities, and the federal market is definitely one of those.
So if you were an entrepreneur, you would put the federal government on your list of things to do?
Yes, definitely to look at. A couple things I would advise is to check out the Federal Procurement Data Center website, and there's a wealth of information on what the government is buying, which agencies are buying them, how they're procuring them, are they doing full and open competition, are they utilizing some of, channeling that money through some of the certification programs, and then that could give businesses some intelligence as to whether or not this would be a good fit for
them. So that would
be
your first stop if you were an entrepreneur?
I would.
Now, there's so much to know. It almost sounds like there would be benefit in education. Is there anything that the SBA here in Atlanta does to help educate folks?
Well, we're always putting on a variety of workshops on different subjects, not just federal contracting. A lot of the government contracting-specific training, we refer people to the Georgia Tech Procurement Technical Assistance Center because they have such a great range of training programs specifically on that.
Uh-huh.
We also have workshops to talk about the different types of certifications and what the pros and cons are to help business people decide, if those are certifications that they should pursue obtaining.
Do you have any advice for small businesses that are looking to start their own business or even enter into this federal contracting arena?
Yeah, maybe the website would be a good time to share that. Do you remember the procurement, or is it better to Google that?
Okay, well, actually, a good place to start would be with the SBA website, which is www.sba.gov. And within that website, we do have a section on government contracting.
Right.
We also have a section on the Recovery Act and with the latest information on what's going on not only with the SBA provisions, but with the other parts of the Recovery Act and its implementation.
Terrific. Gosh, great information, Lee.
Yeah. So the SBA.gov, and I guess if you do /GA, that'll get you to the Georgia?
That's correct.
Right.
Wonderful. Gosh, Terry, thanks for being with us today and for sharing your information. We hope our listeners will reach out and contact you and definitely go to that SBA website.
Right.
Sounds wonderful. Thank you. Terry mentioned education, and there's so much to know. Our next guest this morning from Georgia Tech Enterprise Innovation Institute is Chuck Shaddle. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Thanks, Amy. Appreciate it.
So, Chuck, it sounds like when it comes to training and education, you are the man. Tell us what your job is and your background, maybe your experience with federal contracting.
Sure. We have a really unique program at Georgia Tech. It's called the Georgia Tech Procurement Assistance Center. We are part of the Enterprise Innovation Institute at Georgia Tech. And we really offer a range of free services to businesses interested in doing business with the government. That's really our mission. We offer classroom instruction, as Terry said, on a very wide array of topics having to do with government contracting. We also offer all kinds of electronic tools to help businesses access government contracting information. And then we provide one-on-one counseling assistance as well to clients all around the state. And I would like to point that out. We have offices all around the state, not just in Atlanta. We have procurement counselors located there who do the training, who do the counseling, and who provide our services.
I know there's a lot to preparing proposals and bids. Is that something you help with?
Yes. Now, you know, we like to point out that we're not consultants. You would hire a consultant to do that if you wanted to. Instead, we're teachers. We're mentors. We're coaches. So we teach businesses how to prepare bids, how to interpret government documents, how to do all those kinds of things, and then we'll review that and critique it and provide feedback.
But you do that in a group manner, not a one-on-one?
We do both. I mean, through our classroom instruction, obviously, we provide instruction at a group level. Some of our classes can hold as many as 100 people.
Wow.
Others are much smaller, 10 or 15 people. But we also do one-on-one counseling for those businesses who actually take the step to register with us as a client. Mm-hmm. There's some steps they go through to do that.
Is there a fee?
No, there's no fee at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So you would recommend entrepreneurs do that?
Sure. I mean, that's why we're here. The way to start with us is by attending a class that we offer very frequently all around the state. It's called Introduction to Government Contracting. And that's a very intensive and comprehensive class. It's 3 hours in length. It really gives people an understanding of all the fundamentals of what you really must do to just get ready to enter the government marketplace. And there's nothing worse than entering the government market prematurely. There's a lot of things to have in place, a lot of registrations, a lot of paperwork, as you were talking about earlier. It's got to be in place.
So it's one of those things that if you think you can just, like, jump online and start applying for some of these things, you might get frustrated and quit, whereas if you would do a little of the preparation, you'll have better success?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the old expression is you only have one chance to make a good first impression. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of ways in government contracting to make a bad first impression. That's
right.
What we help people avoid doing.
You're an active member of the Association of Procurement Technical Assistance Centers. Tell us a little bit about your involvement in the community and how important really is networking with these services for small businesses.
It's very important, and the organization you mentioned is actually an association of programs such as ours all across the country. There are about 90 programs like ours around the country, some of them affiliated with state governments or universities, some with local economic development organizations. All of us, though, share funding from, believe it or not, the Department of Defense, specifically the Defense Logistics Agency, which provides funding for us. And then that's usually matched, as it is at Georgia Tech, with local funds to provide a complete program. Some of the programs are just very local. Others are statewide programs, such as the one at Georgia Tech.
Now, is this Procurement Assistance Center, is that unique to, you know, to have it at Georgia Tech, or do all the colleges have this?
No, it's certainly unique in Georgia. Georgia Tech is the only program such as this in the state. In other states, as I said, a program like this might be affiliated with any kind of a unit of government.
Mm-hmm. Now, what does Georgia Tech bring to the table that makes it like the logical place for it to be there?
Well, a number of things. First of all, we've got a vast array of resources beyond our program that are designed to help entrepreneurs. Being a technology-centered university, we've got a lot of programs that specifically are geared toward people going into business in a technology field, perhaps having a technology innovation or invention that they'd like to bring to the marketplace. We've got a lot of resources we can bring to bear that supplement the kinds of things we do in our program.
So if somebody in Georgia Tech has a startup they're working on that might be, like, you know, there's so many startups in technology in Silicon Valley, and they have a whole, that whole area is built upon that. Sure. Is Georgia Tech trying to become kind of the hub of something like that here in Atlanta?
Yes, and I think Atlanta and Georgia Tech are quite unique, and we can distinguish ourselves in a favorable way from Silicon Valley, frankly. There are a number of things happening here that don't happen anyplace else. The university is a great, great set of resources.
Mm-hmm. But is the people – I talk to a lot of startup people, and people have come from Silicon Valley. The thing they like about Silicon Valley, when you have a startup, if it doesn't work, there's another startup you can jump right onto, and there's right. a lot of venture capital funds available. Are things happening here to kind of foster that kind of environment, or do you see that?
Absolutely. We've got a sister organization known as ACDC that is really a business incubator for
right.
technology businesses on the campus.
And does the government work with them, or they're separate? You mentioned they're separate, but is there an overlap?
Yeah, I mean, the program is very integrated, actually, and in many cases, believe it or not, access to capital is not the primary issue. It's mm-hmm. really development of the idea.
Uh-huh.
And that's where we really provide a lot of counsel,
right.
a lot of resources.
That's interesting. They've been yeah. guests before.
Right.
It's Cindy.
Cindy. She's no longer there, but Cindy Cheatham
was a guest.
Okay.
The ACDC. Yeah, right. It's what an amazing resource. And you mentioned, too, Chuck, that some of these training resources are free.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All the programs that I described as a part of the government procurement assistance program are all free of charge. I mean, I like to say we offer the only free classes on the Georgia Tech campus.
Any final thoughts or any tips for our listeners that maybe are small business owners or entrepreneurs that are looking to get involved in selling to the federal government? Any tips?
I think, market research is an incredibly important topic. And that's something that we have electronic tools to help a lot of businesses pursue. You've really got to research the market you're entering into. And I also want to add, we've dealt so far on the show with federal contracting, but we also assist businesses with state and local government contracting as well. I mean, the U.S. federal government is the biggest buyer on earth of everything. But the second biggest buyer are the 50 states combined.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then the third largest buyer in the world are all the cities and counties and other units of local government in the United States. So, the government market is that broad.
But each one has their own rules, right?
They do. They
and
do
that's
indeed.
What you help navigate through, the intricacies of each one of them individually. Because it's not like if I got federal, I don't automatically get state and local, right?
That's correct. I mean, you used a great word, navigate. And in some cases, the waters are mined. So, we do help people navigate through the process, understand the rules.
Why do you think there are so many rules? Is it to weed out people, or is it just kind of a bureaucracy?
I think that
As it gets bigger, everybody wants their input, so then they add one more thing, and it just keeps piling on, and there's just lots of one more things.
That's a very good description. I mean, when you think about it, most units of government in this country, have evolved over 100 years. They wrote some rules, and then all they've done is added rules since
right.
then.
Hmm.
And a lot of that stuff has to do with legislation and ethics and a lot of good things, but not very often governments find the time to sit back and say, why do we do all the things that we do?
Wow.
Right.
Yeah, I bet. And you've talked about navigating. I would imagine you're kind of the compass, but how do you come up with all this knowledge? How do you stay up to date? Because things change so regularly.
They do. I guess the quality of the life that we have in our program is not too great. I mean, that's we just kind of eat, sleep, and drink government contracting all day long. So, you know, what can I say about that? But we've got some great tools. Kevin wanted me to mention our BidMatch service. We've got an electronic service that actually taps into over 1,200 different government databases that contain contracting opportunities every day. I mean, that's more than any human being could go visit on the web,
sure,
you know, in a 24-hour cycle. But we've got an electronic system that actually pings all those databases. And they're actually worldwide. We tap into contract opportunities from the European Union, U.S. embassies around the world, the Canadian government, as well as all 50 states, and then hundreds and hundreds of cities and counties and, right, and other units of local government.
So now that's something that can I access that on the Internet, or I have to go to you and you have a special access?
Yeah, you come through us, and we get you set up with what we call a search profile that
right,
looks for opportunities that match up with your capabilities and your interests. And every time there's a match, we send you an email alerting you to that potential government contracting opportunity.
Now, is this something that putting together that initial profile, is that the key to this? Like to be able to describe all of my capabilities in a way that the government kind of can find me?
Yeah,
is that the magic in this?
There's a lot of magic in that. Everything in government is purchased by the number, literally. There's a number assigned to everything, every mm-hmm. product, every service. So doing that research initially is very important. And knowing what the government calls what it is you do is another very important
right, thing. Right, like I can call it X and they can call it Y, and we could be talking about the same exact thing, but
yes,
just because I'm calling it a different word, they may not even know I exist.
That's exactly right.
Wow. And Terry, is that something you see, like problems that, you know, entrepreneurs will have, you know, think that they've done everything right, and then they're just like saying, you know, checking the wrong box, basically?
Yes. And it goes back to, you know, taking the time up front to educate yourself, because that saves you a lot of time and heartache.
In the back end, right?
In the back end, exactly.
Yeah. That's a lot of preparation for this, Amy. This is not easy.
No, it isn't easy, but it does sound like...
The guy on TV with the book that says you just buy the book and then you just send in a form.
No.
It makes it seem very easy.
It sounds like it's much better to go to Georgia Tech for the resources and the training and education. But, you know, we're talking about this, and it does sound like a lot of work, and I think that's what intimidates a lot of folks. But correct me if I'm wrong, Chuck, but once you've done it once and you get it, isn't it something that then you can duplicate with modifications? I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of work and a lot of education involved.
Maybe up front, and then after,
right,
then you're kind of in the club, and then you got it. You've done that. That's the heavy lifting part, and then after that, then you reap kind of the rewards of that.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to submit your second bid than your first bid, and so forth and so on. And you should learn from your mistakes. I mean, mm-hmm. one of the things that I think is very unique and beneficial in the government marketplace that you don't find in the commercial marketplace is the government will tell you why you lost. And that process is called getting a debriefing. And
okay.
And businesses need to know that they need to ask for a debriefing to understand what mistakes they may have made in their bid or their proposal,
right,
what their strengths were, what their weaknesses were, what they can do better next time. If you learn from that, you'll get better at it and you'll win.
What are common reasons that a person doesn't get a bid?
Mistakes.
Really?
I mean, people think submitting a bid 1 minute late is okay. It's not. It's
mm-hmm.
fatal. Forgetting to sign your bid, forgetting to fill in some of the blanks, or thinking, well, the government really doesn't exactly want what they're asking for.
Or
I've given
them enough.
Else.
Right.
Yeah, that doesn't work. You got to attention to detail is incredibly important in submitting a government bid.
So that would be the number one reason the debriefing that you find. So it's important to come to you so they know how to dot their I's and cross their T's, right?
Absolutely.
Sounds like you've been doing this a long time. How many years of experience do you have?
How many bids do you think are in your portfolio?
Well, you know, I've worked on both sides of the table. I've worked in government for a lot of my career, but I also worked on the other side of the table doing business with the government and submitting bids and proposals. I've been doing it, I hate to say, almost 40 years. And, you know, it's it's not gotten any simpler. And we don't say to anyone that by coming to Georgia Tech we'll make government contracting easy. I don't think anything, anybody or anything can make it easy. We do say that we can make it easier, but it does start with attention to detail, understanding that, just as you said, you've got to dot the I's, cross the T's, follow instructions absolutely to the letter, and that starts well before you even submit a bid. That starts with the registration process, doing the market research, identifying those what are called procurement codes, that numbering system that relates to your line of business.
Gosh, there's a lot to know, Lee.
I'm intimidated.
I'm not. You know, he's really making
it
sound like...
I know. Now all these people I can call, so it'll be easier for me.
I was over here doing the math. We have over 115 years of experience in this room.
Are you counting us?
No, we don't have
we
any.
We have zero.
Yeah,
we're bringing down the average.
We have 30 hours, so maybe right. It's 115 years and 30 hours.
Right, and a day.
Or 30 minutes and 30 hours. But you know what? I feel like I'm getting 30 hours worth of education in the 30 minutes.
Now, you want to share your website?
I do. It's very simple. It's gtpac.org, and that stands for Georgia Tech Procurement Assistance Center. So gtpac.org. That's the place to start. It's where you can register for all the classes, see all of our services, and learn how to get involved with us.
Great.
Excellent. Thanks so much, Chuck, for sharing with us. Great information. Great information. Our next guest this morning, we have Gwen Miles, and Gwen is the U.S. Army's assistant. Actually, you can tell us what you do, but I'm just looking at your U.S. Army assistance through the Office of Small Business Programs. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show.
Good morning. Thank you. So, that's a lot to say, I know.
It is. So tell us what it means.
Well, I am the assistant director to the Office of the Small Business Programs for the Mission Installation Contracting Command Center, Fort McPherson.
Okay.
That means that I am the go-between, the small business, and the contracting office.
Wow. Okay. I'm glad I asked because I was looking at your card and then looking at your profile, and it needed some explaining. So thank you. So what is your current role?
As the assistant director to the program.
So what does your day look like? What do you do?
I work in the Office of the Small Business Programs in the contracting center.
Okay.
Each government agency has a contracting office. And in that contracting office, there is a small business specialist. So I am the small business specialist or the subject matter expert that is there to assist small businesses get their share of small business contracts with the government.
But for the Army specifically or Fort McPherson specifically?
This is the Department of Army program, yes.
Right.
But at each of the Army installations, there is a small business specialist.
Okay.
So I am there at Fort McPherson.
Now, I understand this role is by appointment.
Yes,
what does
it
that mean, and how is it different from the other positions?
Well, as the small business specialist, the director of the Office of Small Business Programs appoints a specialist at each installation. And this came about because the president, of course, said that we need to do more to assist small businesses. We have several socioeconomic programs out there, 8A, woman-owned, service-disabled vet, and they can't seem to get in the door in contracting.
Okay.
So we need to put someone at these installations to assist them in doing what they need to do to get a contract with the government.
What are some of the ways you assist?
I am there, well, like you say, my day starts with going in, reading a lot of emails and receiving a lot of phone calls saying, I can do this for the government. But most of the time, I am there to just ensure that policies and regulations are adhered to. I am there at the beginning of the procurement process, so I work closely with contracting to ensure that small businesses get a part of the contract. You know, it's so much easier to go out and give it to a large business, but we have so many small businesses that can do the same thing. So my job is to ensure that they look at the small businesses as a prime contractor also.
Do you guys conduct any industry days or anything, any type of session that's geared towards the business community?
I host an annual small business conference. I will be hosting a conference this year, 18-19 May. It'll be at the Commons in Fort McPherson. It is free to the first 300 people that sign up. Registration will open on 1 April. You can go to our website at http://. www.forcecom, that's forscom.army.mil /AACC to register, beginning 1 April. It'll be a two-day affair. We'll have government speakers from all over Atlanta and throughout the Army installations in the area. And the next day, we will have one-on-one matchmaking. That'll be the small businesses or large businesses can come in and sit down and do one-on-one and talk to GSA or SBA or Fort Mac or Fort Sam Houston or Fort Benning. We'll have a specialist there from each of those installations and through the government agencies in the city of Atlanta.
Now, do those 300 slots get filled typically?
Yes. I usually have to just cut it off because it's free.
Right.
And so when you say free, everybody wants a part of it. So I usually have to say, well, we can only have two people from each company to come. And that way, at least we get more people.
More companies, right.
But being as it's free, we can only hold 300 people at the installation on post.
Now, those 300 people that attend, do they typically get business? But, you know, if you attend this, that's going to kind of be your ticket?
We don't promise you a contract.
Right,
we
but just it increases your odds, sure, dramatically.
Yes, we give you the opportunity to come and talk to several different agencies about the types of contracts that they might have in place.
And what are some of those types of contracts typically?
Well, we do from supplies, services, logistics. We do some IT. The full gamut, whatever the Army has,
it's not necessarily like weapons, right? It could be like,
well, not at Fort McPherson. We don't do weapons.
No weapons.
No, we
if you have weapons, don't go there.
not at Fort McPherson. No.
I'm thinking of all the different supplies.
All types of supplies and services. Anything to take care of the soldier, that's what we do. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course, taking care of the soldier doesn't mean bullets and weapons all the time.
Right.
You have to take care of the family. So anything to do with on post, from the groundskeep at the installations to taking care of the family, the children, you got to have the commissaries, places for them to eat. You got to have other sources available
for the family.
There's a huge
infrastructure built around the Army.
Right. So it's just not taking care of bullets, missiles, that type of thing. It's the everyday soldier and their family.
How often do these contracts come up for bid, typically? I mean, or does it vary by contract?
Oh, it varies by customers. At Fort McPherson, we have several customers. The Forcecom headquarters is our major customer. Then we have the IMSCOM. We have USARC. That's the U.S. Army Reserve. We have Third Army ID, which is also there. And we have the CID lab at Fort Gillem. All of these customers that we have in place have different contracts at different times, whatever their needs are. Say if the CID lab has a need for an investigator, they would bring that requirement to the contracting office and say, I need to get three investigators, and these are the requirements. Do you have someone that has the capability? So we go out on FedBizOps with this requirement or do a sources sought and to find out if there's a small business or any business out there that has the capability.
So when you're saying an investigator, that's a person.
Yes.
So like they don't call this hiring someone, they call it procuring
something? It's a service. It's a service.
You're procuring a service, which means hiring a person.
Right.
Right, that's the translation.
Okay. Thanks, Lee. No, but it's interesting, as she's saying, we oftentimes...
It's a different language.
It is, but that's why you need to go to Georgia Tech and talk to Chuck.
get the
lingo
learning.
Down.
I'm learning.
What should some small businesses know? I mean, we're talking about now, there's so much to know. What should a small business know
there
before?
There is a lot to know, but the first thing is to ensure that you're registered.
Before they contact you?
In the Central Contractors Registration. And if they go to Chuck, he'll ensure that they have all of this. But a lot of times they bypass Chuck and they come straight to me saying, oh, I have a lawn service and I know you all need to.
You have a lawn, so hire me.
And so I can do this. And first thing I say, are you registered in the CCR, the Central Contractors Registration? Well, no, what is that? So then I have to go back through the back door, either send them to Chuck or either, I don't mind, I take the time and I tell them this is the Central Contractors Registration. In order to do any business with the government, you must be registered.
Okay.
Once you get registered in the CCR, you go to ccr.gov, and it populates everything you need to do. As far as your DUNS number, asks you for a CAGE code, a tax ID, all this information you should have if you are a business.
Right.
And once you do that, once you get your registration, then you are able to begin the process of requesting of the bids.
Got it.
See, so that's simple.
Well, but you have to. It's very systematic, and there are a lot of steps to take. And it does sound like the education component of
it. But the tricky part, I mean, I don't know anything about this, obviously, but it seems that every department has their own process, but there's some overarching process that kind of goes over all of the departments, so that you got to just. You know, there's a lot of little minutiae here.
You got to do that. You have to be registered.
Right. So that's the first step. If you don't do that, nothing else matters.
That's true.
What's the most effective way for businesses to communicate with you or participate in the programs you're talking about?
Well, I'm always available by phone, 404-464-2353, or email Gwendolyn, that's gwendolyn@us.army.mil.
Now, are there other people doing the same role as you in other Army bases across the country?
Yes, we have a small business specialist at all of the Army installations. A lot of them are not full-time. This is a full-time position for me. Mm-hmm. Some are working in contracting and doing this as a part-time. But they are working as a small business specialist.
And you mentioned that this is a recent kind of role, right, that for the government to help the small business? Or this was the part of the Recovery Act, did you say?
Oh, no, not the Recovery Act. The president just
said they appointed.
We need to ensure.
We need to kind of
that
make
we
this
do
happen.
Something
right.
for small businesses.
So has it been working?
Yes, we have at Fort McPherson, we have met our small business goals. Like Terry was saying earlier, we have socioeconomic goals that are set. That comes down from the government, from the headquarters.
Right.
And each installation has to meet certain criteria or certain goals as far as service disabled bed, veteran owned, 8A woman owned, HBCUs, hub zone. We have goals that we have to meet. And so that's when we ensure that we utilize the hub zone or woman owned or service disabled vet for particular contracts that we have in place.
Are you looking, it's like one group, you know, not kind of taking advantage of this as much as you'd like them to? Like, is there like, oh, I wish there were more women owned, or I wish there was, like, are you seeing something?
Usually we're looking for more 8A and woman owned small businesses. Our goals, like I said, we have met our goals, but 8A and woman owned.
What is 8A?
8A?
Yeah, what is that?
This is just a category in a small business, in the small business. It just gives you not a one-up, but it is a specialized category in the small business category.
And then, so if you had more of those, that would be a good thing.
Yes.
Right.
It sounds like you could write a catalog of coding for acronyms. I mean, there are so many acronyms on a daily basis for you. And how do you keep up with the educational process?
Well, as a small business specialist, of course, you have to be in a contracting arena. So first, you have to be a contract specialist, and then you have to take small business courses, of course, that specialize you in that area. You have to be certified at level 3. That's another contracting requirement.
Mm-hmm.
And once you do that, just the contracting background, and as long as you're able to familiarize yourself with the different regulations, the Federal Acquisition Regulation is the guide that we use for small business, and that's FAR. That's another acronym.
Oh, no.
The FAR is what we use for small businesses in the government.
Do you mind sharing again that website you had mentioned, the ForceCom website?
Okay. Website.
Because that's the big one, right?
Yes, that's where you would go to find out any information about the Fort McPherson program or any type of requirements that we would have. We have an advanced acquisition plan that's on our website. So if you go to the http://www.forcecom.org/ www.forcecom, that's ForceCom, .army.mil/AACC.
Lee, please put that link on there.
Yeah, so it's ForceCom. .army.mil/AACC.
That's it.
Right?
And she knows that like the back of her hand. Wow. Did you see how it just rolled off her tongue?
it's intimidating to me. I'm scared.
Oh, my goodness.
You shouldn't be. You definitely shouldn't be. Now, Gwen, any final thoughts for our listeners? This has been a great show, a lot of information. Any final thoughts for those folks that are listening and may have been inspired by the show to actually tap into this market?
Just give me a call. I'm always available or try to be available. I answer my phone. I answer emails, maybe not instantly, but I do get back to you. And like I say, we have outreach. We have industry days throughout Atlanta, not just at Fort McPherson, but downtown, Chuck, SBA, GSA, Department of Industry. All of those places are good places to go. When you hear of some of those industry days, you need to try and participate. Because this is where you go and meet. You never know who you might meet there. Mm-hmm. You might meet someone that has a contract out there and is looking for a small business.
Right.
So that's a way of marketing yourself and ensuring that you get a part of this government contracting.
Terry, do you have any final thoughts for us? A lot of information. Any final thoughts?
A couple things. We were talking about how complicated this can all be, but one simpler way, especially if you're a very small business, is micro-purchases. If you have a standard commercial product or service, and a lot of times local government offices such as ours have a $3,000 credit card limit, and if you can take credit cards, you can transact business with us just as you would with a commercial buyer.
Interesting.
And also teaming is another way to help smaller businesses get into procurement, teaming with a large business or another small business.
It seems, I mean, I was kidding earlier about the, you know, there's a lot of rules and a lot of, you know, it sounds overwhelming, but it seems like that there's a lot of people that are willing to help you. There's no shortage of that. You know, it's not something that you're on your own and you just have to figure it out. And if you can't figure it out, then oh well. It seems like there's a lot of people that are out there that can help you.
A lot of people out that can help. Any final thoughts from you, Kevin?
Yeah, and again, the reason to bring everyone together is to try to establish Georgia, you know, as a government contracting hub. Atlanta's the capital of the Southeast. We're very proud of that. But we need to be the government contracting capital of the Southeast as well. So, again, you know, that's my mission. And that's my mission. That's why I started my company, was to help businesses in the Atlanta area do more federal contracting. And when I go out and meet clients, I notice the disconnect, the gap, the knowledge deficit. Mm-hmm. So by bringing these people together, hopefully this will help and serve as a catalyst to get more businesses in the Atlanta area and the state of Georgia as a whole getting their share. We all pay taxes. So let's go back and get some of the tax money that we've put into the system.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Now, tell us how folks can reach you too, Kevin.
They can reach me at www.cfoleasing.com.
Terrific. Now, last but certainly not least, Chuck, if this were a bid match, tell us how we would debrief.
Well, I'd like to remind everybody again to visit our website. Almost everything we talked about in this program today is discussed in detail on the Georgia Tech website, mm-hmm. gtpac.org. There are links to FedBizOps that was mentioned several times, links to figuring out how to find your codes, your procurement codes, links to determine whether or not you are a small business. After all, you're not a small business by federal definition just because you feel small. Mm-hmm. There really is a definition. You have to meet that. So I invite everyone to visit our website. We've got a lot of great resources there. There really are training tools now posted online on our website, too.
Now, is this something that if anybody here in the room was ready to start a business today, their own, and they're no longer with the government anymore, now they're starting on their own, they'd be able to do this and get government money? You all feel pretty confident you'd be able to pull that off?
If you leave your current job and decide to go off, that's an interesting question. They know a lot.
They know all the tricks, right?
They do.
You know, there's one resource we didn't mention yet, and that's there are small business development centers all around the state. They're SBA funded. They're operated by the University System of Georgia. And that's a great starting point for people just starting a business. You don't want to start a business and try to get a government contract at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you got to do things
one thing
right
at a
order.
Time.
Right. Yes.
And then isn't, I met somebody yesterday that their father was with SCORE. Is that another place that you can get help if you're a small business person? That's retired, retired people that help small business?
That's correct, and that's also an SBA resource.
Uh-huh.
Lots of resources. Unfortunately, we're out of time. So people are going to, our listeners need to reach out because there are so many resources and a lot of knowledge in the room and a lot of incredible information.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for Kevin to put all this together.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. It was wonderful. A lot of resources. We really appreciate you putting the show together. And Chuck, I'm sorry to say I've got March Madness, but I don't have Georgia Tech in the final.
Oh, my goodness.
Did I make a mistake?
You did that right. You didn't say that at the beginning of the program.
That's right. Being from Kansas, I have University of Kansas all the way, so we'll see how I fare.
We'll see.
Do you get into March Madness, Lee?
No.
Oh, gosh. Honestly, I think my productivity probably goes down this time of year because I can't stop. I'm hooked.
Lots of games. A lot of action.
A lot of information to keep up with. Right. There was an article in USA Today that was talking about productivity and companies going down so much this week because people are spending time online checking it out, taking longer lunch breaks to watch the games.
Now, I saw that they might expand the field to 96. Now, that'll kill 2 weeks of time now.
No. Can't handle that. Can't handle that, but hang in there for the March Madness,
right?
And we'll talk about it again next week. We'll see how my teams are faring.
I'm sure Kansas will do fine.
I will. I'll give you the update next week. Until then, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Thanks for listening.